From the Roots Up. CIUT 89.5 FM. Toronto.
Good morning. Welcome to the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM in Toronto. I'm Phil Taylor, your host, and we have a number of matters to talk about today, but we're going to begin on the subject of developments in Syria. And our guest is Bashar. He is a businessman in Canada who has friends and family in Syria, and I think he's joining us now. Are you there, Bashar?
Yeah, good morning, Phil.
Good morning. Thank you very much for joining us.
It's a pleasure.
It's to me, it's a real tragedy that is unfolding in your country, as I can learn it from this distance. But I guess the world is trying to figure out how it came to pass that we have a situation where Western media, certainly Canadian, U.S., when they talk about the situation there, they tend to put it in a kind of a big picture spin that there is some type of new government, and that it's superior to the previous, and that they're trying to work out ways that everybody cooperating with it. But meanwhile, there's an undercurrent of very disturbing information that the media doesn't seem to focus on. But I want to ask you, you have friends and family in Syria, and my understanding is in the area I call the Levant, or the coastal region, I guess. You can inform us about that. What is your picture? What do you think is going on in the lives of the Syrians now under the new government, but particularly in this area where we're hearing ugly reports?
First of all, thanks for having me again, and it's a pleasure being with you. And I want to say hi for everybody who's listening to us. I'll be very happy to share with you my point of view, since I come from that country. I'm Syrian before everything, and I'm Canadian, and I'm proud to be Canadian as well. So what's happening is, in Syria, the fighting started when people from the old Assad regime attacked the new government forces and killed some. This is a fact. But this was not the only reason. The real problem is much bigger and has been going on for months. So we will come to it later. But in fact, it's been 4 months since the collapse of the Assad regime now. Mm-hmm. It's a very concerning violence, and even still, we can call it a genocide. It's an ethnic cleansing. We witnessed clashes between security forces and so-called remnants of old regime. That exists, but for only 2 days, and we never saw the killed people from the remnants, or we didn't see them being caught. So where are they? This is the first question. Another thing, it's a collective punishment for certain minorities in Syria, and more specifically for the Alawites. Some use the wrong word, calling it revenge killing. It's not revenge killing. In reality, it's when we talk about revenge killing, you get your revenge for someone. It means that you know that person and you take your revenge. But what happened exactly, Phil, that a lot of militias, and the majority of these militias are jihadists, and they have very radical ideology. They enter these villages and start killing them randomly. It's a random assassination. So this is a very concerning. Mm-hmm. And when we know the exact numbers, we will realize that it's not a clashes, it's not revenge killing, it's a genocide.
It's kind of a like a design, right? I mean, I can recall, and I'd like you to, you probably have clearer memory about this, but when we first heard of this group, HTS, or and this leader, I think his name is Shara, that they were attacking the Alawi community long before they seized power. They were saying already that they had a plan to remove or to kill that an entire group, right?
Exactly. But let's put it in its right context. When the regime of Al-Assad was in power, it was a fight between his regime and the other militias. And the regime of Al-Assad doesn't exist of Alawi alone. So it's a fight between a dictatorship and a radical ideology militia. And I need to highlight here a very important point. Regardless of the fight between Al-Assad regime and these militias, they look at the minorities in Syria as, sorry to say that, but as pigs, as animals, and yeah, they deserve to be executed. So this is something exists in the ideology of these militias.
Mm-hmm. You know, I can recall, and many years ago, when we had a similar phenomenon in Iraq, where they changed the labels on us all the time. But basically, Al Qaeda was attacking Christians. And they were, and many Christians left Iraq, went to Syria, where they were protected. I don't know what has become of those Christians, but the Christians too are now being targeted inside Syria. Is that right?
To be honest, the targeted minority at now is the minority. It's the Alawites. And I want to tell you something very important, and the Christians as well, when they try to protect the Alawites, because the Alawites, they are trying to escape. And when they go to certain Christian villages, they attack these villages and they kill the Christians because they show humanity and mm-hmm. they show tolerance. Mm-hmm. And even in Banyas, there are some Sunni families, very moderate, and they are Syrians, and they are our brothers and sisters. They tried to help these Alawite families, and they have been killed. And nobody is talking about that. And for me, this is a very concerning violence as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, by the way, you're getting some information. What sort of things, how is this conducted? I mean, the last time I actually saw any kind of detailed report was maybe a couple of weeks ago, where they claimed that what it was elements of this really oddly cobbled together government. They said, oh, it's portions of the armed groups, and that they are going there on their own, going into the area of, I guess it's best known as Latakia, and carrying out violence by as a type of vengeance or hatred. But what have you heard about how this is conducted? What do they do?
Okay, perfect. Very good question. So what's happening is when these clashes happened, there are what we call it in al-Islam, fatwa. The most radical religious figures in the country called the whole country to start fighting against minorities. And this is recorded. So fill a lot of cars, thousands of cars from all around Syria.
Mm-hmm.
From Aleppo, people they are working on their own. Still, they are not even in the Ministry of Defense. They are not the security forces. They are civilians who hold their arms and coming to invade that the coastal area. And when they entered the villages, still they were not asking, show us your guns or arms. Were you part of the Syrian army? No, they are asking people, are you Alawite? Yes, we've killed. Show us what you have as money. We want to steal the money. Imagine, Phil, this area is very well known for its olive oil. They were stealing even the olive oil from these poor people.
Hmm. So partly it's a theft as much as murder.
Absolutely.
They come
absolutely,
to
Phil.
Yeah. Well, what has happened to the, you know, Syria was quite a success in terms of the communities cooperating. So what has become of the leaders who, and the various groupings, whether Alawi, Christian, Muslim, has that all broken down? Is there no communication, coordination at all?
It is. There is some communication. Phil, you need to understand something. People in Syria, inside Syria, they are in fear. They are terrorized. Phil, I want to share with you a few information. I have my relatives in Syria, and when they go through checkpoints, the first thing they ask about is, who is not Sunni? Who is Christian? Who is Alawite? Who is Druze? Who is Kurd? And one of them, they try to hide. Still, they try to ask some radical questions about Islam.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot know them if you are moderate.
Mm-hmm.
This is crucial. And when they know that you are coming from a minority, they take you out of the car, playing like they are playing with an animal. They ask them to bark. They ask them to open their mobile phone. They want to access to their Facebook and social media accounts to see if they are putting something against the government.
Yeah. By the way, these crimes and the violence that is being conducted, it is so gross, at least in reports, that the leaders of the HTS have said, please, to their troops, stop photographing yourself killing people. It's that bad.
Absolutely. We have a lot of evidences. Ask people, please kill them in a silent way. Don't film. And now there are some instructions to from Central Asia, from other Arab countries, and they are all wanted. They are all terrorists. And they are coming to the coastal region and even to Homs and these minorities, villages and area, and they are killing them in a mass way.
Yeah.
And another thing which is very, very, very important, that these people are masked. So Phil, you cannot see their faces. They have long beards, they have long hair. And they hide their face. How can you interact with someone who is supposed to protect you if he is hiding his face?
And what do you make of the fact that it is, to me, it's so mind-boggling, but I read in the news yesterday that the United Nations Human Rights, whatever it is, says that they want to go to Syria and to investigate the crimes of the Assad government, while this is going on. What do you make of that?
Absolutely. It's really a double standard.
You're asking a terrorist to permit you to investigate the previous government?
Absolutely. Phil, what do you expect from someone who was ISIS, and after that Al-Qaeda, and after that Al-Nusra, and now he's leading a country? This is successful international terrorism.
Mm-hmm. It's so bizarre, because it would it practically makes United Nations, at least in that department, an enabler and cooperator with a murderous government in the name of all things, human rights.
Absolutely, absolutely, Phil. Phil, to be honest, let's take it this way. It looks like the international community they have a plan, and they want this plan to be done. Mm-hmm. And here I would like to talk, if you allow me, about the role of Turkey, if you allow me.
Mm-hmm.
So when about happening in Syria, we need to go to the history a little bit, especially that we are going to talk about Turkey. We can't ignore the history. Turkey has a long and painful legacy when it comes to minorities. Mm-hmm. We all know the genocide, the Armenian genocide.
Yes.
Millions are killed or were killed. Now we are seeing sometimes very similar things in Syria. And Turkey's role is once again raising serious questions there, Phil.
Mm-hmm.
And in the past few years, Turkey has gone far beyond just watching from the sidelines. It's trying to step in and take over the space left by Russia and Iran. As you know, they are trying to build military bases, expanding its influence inside Syria. But what's really alarming is how many of the militia leaders responsible for violence on the ground are closely connected to Turkey. They are on the payroll of Turkey.
Mm-hmm.
So when entire communities like Alawites in the coastal region and the Christians are being attacked, homes destroyed, it's not happening in the dark. We are in a technological age.
Mm-hmm.
So the Turkey has drones in the sky. They have ears and they have eyes everywhere in Syria. If these militias were acting without Turkey's approval, they would have consequences, right? There will be consequences for that.
So,
but instead, what we have is a complete silence. Turkey is turning a blind eye. Green light.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you about this. You're talking about the role of Turkey here, and we have among the worst killers, apparently, are the people called the Uyghur. They're not from Syria. They're not from Turkey. They're from a made-up country called, Turkestan in Western China. Now, according to the papers that I read yesterday, there are 5,000 Uyghur fighters inside Syria, and they have a community of 15,000 people. Now, can you tell me, by the way, here's an expression I read, I think it was in Globe and Mail. They said these Uyghur fighters had found their way to Syria. Could you tell me, they found their way. Could you talk about how they found their way?
And this is exactly the role of Turkey. These people are on the payroll of Turkey. This is exactly what I was talking about. Turkey isn't just trying to protect its border. It's trying to shape Syria's future through these jihadis. And to tell the international community, I hold the card of terrorists in the Middle East, and you need to negotiate with us. Phil, there is more than 100,000 international fighters in Syria.
Mm-hmm.
What's happening now is more than just a war in Syria. The world needs.
Mm-hmm. We're speaking to Bashar, a Canadian businessman with friends and family in Syria. What is this business? What is going? You, in your view, is the relationship between Turkey and Israel, are they cooperating or are they antagonistic on the question of dividing up or controlling Syria?
It's a competition. It's a clear competition between the two strongest regional powers. Mm-hmm. And definitely in the interest of Syria. Definitely. It's a competition.
Is the goal to, are they, it's speculated that there would be a balkanization, that they would, that for example, the Levant would be under, I don't know which, whether it be Israel or Turkey, but the Levant would be broken off and that other regions would be divided between Turkey and Israel. Is that, you think that's what's going to occur?
This is definitely at least now. You have the Kurds, you have the Druze, and you have the minorities, Christians and Alawites on the coastal region. And definitely we are going towards this conclusion. Mm-hmm. But let me tell you something. When we talk about what's happening exactly, especially the brutal violence, it's not the regime elites hiding behind their walls in very fancy houses in Russia. The families and the people who are suffering now in Syria.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end of the day, we need first of all to stop killing. Phil, this is crucial. When people ask us, what do you expect from the international community, guys? These people are killed every day. I cannot ask for opening an international, independent, transparent investigation. It's a luxury now. I just want to stop the killing.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've probably followed the way that Canadian government has responded. I'm sure the members of your community must be trying to reach Canadian government and elected officials. I don't see much help coming from that quarter. And definitely the United States is utterly unsympathetic to the situation of the massacre of civilians in the Levant. Is that right?
Absolutely, absolutely. We don't see much reaction. Even we have a special convey for Syria. I have sent him an email, I think 1 month and a half back. I even didn't receive any response. I commented on his Facebook post, him what he did for Syria. He didn't answer, and we are trying to reach him out without any success.
And I'm really unfamiliar myself with this, but at the United Nations, are there any countries in your view that are sort of saying and doing the right thing? In the world community, as it's represented at the UN, do you see any voices that are at least accurately following what the events in your country,
Let's face it. If the United States didn't do anything, nobody would do anything. So, US is leading the world, and if they say stop killing will stop. Let's face this reality.
Yes. And at the moment, that is obviously not happening. They're getting visits from Germany, from France.
Absolutely.
They're all anointing this phenomenon called HDS and the leader. By the way, could you talk about, I understand that, you know, one of the things that was said about the previous government was that there were many family members of the Assad family that were given powerful positions. But already, in a matter of a couple of months, the new leader has begun to appoint his relatives all over the place. Is that right?
Not his relatives, but with him. And this, it's really weird how this happened. And when we tried to deep dive and understand what's happening, it looks like these people paid certain amount of money and they managed in a way or another to be part even of the new government. And they are leading certain important initiatives like the open discussion and communication between certain minorities and the government. And these people, they have blood on their hands.
Yes.
From before, during the regime, during the Al-Assad regime.
Mm-hmm. Well, they are doing this thing of saying there's a constitution or there's an interim constitution, there's an interim government, but also my understanding is that power, even according to the interim constitution, really power is with the president. And his name is Sharar?
But you don't know the name, to be honest, Phil. I don't know his real name because sometimes he's Al-Jolani, sometimes he's Abu Muhammad, now he's Al-Sharar. Maybe in the future we'll see him, maybe Phil Collins or somebody else. I don't know.
Maybe he's Irish.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe he will be leading a gang to I don't know. So
yes.
in all the cases, Phil, that the government today, it's not inclusive. He has all the power in his hands. And guess what? He appointed his brothers in very sensitive positions as well. So we are again, we are making up
yes.
again, but with radical Islam culture.
Yeah. And it seems to have no permanent headquarters. I mean, this thing of, they say, even Globe and Mail and others, they say, HTS was Al-Qaeda or maybe is Al-Qaeda. They're not even sure about the formation itself because he was at one point an openly acknowledged Al-Qaeda leader, right?
Definitely. So he is very pragmatic. He is, when he has the interest, he works with ISIS. When he doesn't have the interest, he fights ISIS. And he goes to Ayman al-Zawahiri, who was the leader of Al-Qaeda, and he cooperates with him. And once it's done, he moves to cooperate with Turkey. So the guy, he's very pragmatic. And mm-hmm. I don't believe that Syria needs such kind of leadership. We need an inclusive leadership, a wise leadership, a tolerant leadership.
Yes. Well, they need what the West claims they have, which they need a representative government, which all people are protected and have equal right under the law, right?
Yeah, but Phil, when we have thousands of people dying and we have hundreds killed every day, I don't see this government create an environment of trust in the country.
Yeah, and I wonder, and we're speaking to Bashar. He is a businessman who has friends and family in the area and very concerned about the continuing massacres. One other political problem I've noticed that arose in the past few days is that the new president and the Constitution says that there can be no armed groups, and they negotiated an arrangement with the Kurdish group. I think they call themselves the Syrian National Army or something, but they have not laid down their arms. Now, they say if they have not done that, they actually can have no role in the government. How big a problem is that, do you think?
After the massacres in the coastal region, there is no trust in this government. Even the Kurds will always be suspicious, and they will look at the government with suspicious eyes.
Mm-hmm.
They know that they cannot trust them. They will not hand over their arms. The Druze did the same. Even the Druze now, they opened a direct communication channel with Israel.
Yes. No, it'd be suicide to lay down their arms. Don't you think?
But we did that in certain communities, and we saw the results. What they have done during the after the shot of the dictatorship of Al-Assad, they said, okay, guys, we will tolerate all what has been done. Over your arms, hand over them, and everything will be fine. We'll give you an ID saying that it's settled, and that's it. And after a couple of days, we started to see this killing.
Hmm. Lastly, we need to affirm your first point, actually. The killings have not stopped, right? In other words, the idea that, that was just a little a moment in time, a terrible moment, but actually the killings, as we speak, are still ongoing. The kidnapping of women, the robbery of the people of the Levant is ongoing today, right?
Absolutely, Phil. If you go just right on social media, videos about Syria today, just you will see how many videos you can see every day about people who were kidnapped, women kidnapped, yes, killed, massacred. And I'm sorry, there is a story that I wish to share with you before we finish. And this is very, very heartbreaking, and I'm sorry to share it, but I need to share it. It's my responsibility. This story broke me, in fact. A boy, just a kid, the son of a farmer, he was caught and killed. They cut out his heart.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. And by the way, we saw them in the beginning, right? I mean, people forget. They used to perform. They would line people up and cut their heads off make a film of it.
Absolutely. So, but these people, they cut out his heart, and they were coming filming his father while telling him this. What kind of world allows that to happen?
Yes. Well, Bashar, you've asked the perfect question, and we're going to keep asking that question. We're quite fed up with the collaboration and assistance to this terrorist group running the country. Thank you very, very much. It's been a pleasure talking to you, and we want to talk to you in the future because we don't think this problem is going away, and I'm sure you don't.
It will be always my pleasure. You have my contact details, and thank you very much for your interest and the questions, Phil.
Thank you, Bashar.
Thank you.
This is the Taylor Report. It is CIUT 89.5 FM in Toronto. We're going to take a break with Oscar Peterson, I believe, and then we'll come back and talk about some other matters.